Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the weather is dark, gray, rainy, and ominous. On Saturday, it was T-shirt weather. The Tuesday before, it was 6 degrees. And we're going to have snow on Wednesday, which just makes me think that we don't just have a government that's bipolar. The weather is bipolar. But, of course, that must be because we are in the midst of global warming. Cold weather indicates that it's global warming. So does the hot weather. So does the fact that the Arctic caps are increasing rather than decreasing, and that the ship to study it got caught and will be there for 1,000 years. All of it proves global warming, because that, my friends, is a tenet of faith for the progressives in America, every bit as much as the Trinity is a tenet of faith in Christendom. The Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Godhead, progressives, is global warming, the desire to have everything be fair, and that government, by golly, is the answer to every dadgum thing on earth. That is what we have. Richard, I see that you're on the line. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I thought that the thing that I would really like to talk about today, because I've been seeing this on Facebook and watching it on TV, this whole lane gate, or whatever they're calling it, the closing of the lanes going over the George Washington Bridge, creating a massive traffic jam, just as political payback for the people in whatever that little town is there who didn't.
Yeah, Fort Lee.
who didn't support
the mayor didn't.
Chris Christie. Yeah. All right. Now, number one, I remember the last time that I drove up there to see you. I was in Washington, D.C., and actually staying with a friend of mine in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Got in the car. It was a beautiful spring day. Drove up, or actually it was Labor Day, so it was at the end of summer, not the beginning. But it was a beautiful day. Drove up into the heart of Pennsylvania and, went by Berg and Mechanicsville and all of the Civil War places, and then went through the Lehigh Valley, and it was a magnificent trip. Got to the George Washington Bridge, and it took me 7 hours to go over that bridge and to travel up to Chepachet, Rhode Island, to see you, which was maybe 100 miles, 150 max, 7 hours. I get the traffic jam that people had. It was the last time that people from New York and Connecticut could get out to Cape Cod, so it was a mess. And I made a mistake going over George Washington to begin with. I should have gone north and gone over the Tappan Zee and gone through Hartford, but I didn't. At any rate, I understand the frustration of sitting forever to get over the George Washington Bridge. It was miserable. It's miserable.
Well, close down. Close down two lanes and then see how much longer it takes you. That's what this is all about.
Of course, here's the thing. Any time that someone uses their public office to exact revenge on their political opponents, that by nature is corrupt and wrong.
Yeah.
Period. Christie's wrong in this. You know, it fell on his sword. He apologized. Did all those things that you would do. That it happened, and you know, there'll be emails in there that show that he was probably more responsible than he has led us to believe, because that's what happens with some of these politicians. This is all pretty clear. And interestingly, it isn't just the left-wingers that are after Christie. The people on the far right feel exactly the same way. People like us feel this is wrong. You shouldn't use your office for political revenge. Now, in the mainstream media, they have devoted 17 times as much airtime to this thing with Chris Christie than they have about either Benghazi or the IRS, both far more serious scandals.
Yeah.
And it's because they want to protect, you know, he who must not be blamed. So it's wrong. Here's my problem. If it's wrong for Christie to have people in his office, and maybe him himself, exact political revenge, using the machinery of the government to do so, that's wrong. Now, in the great scheme of things, you know, creating a traffic jam is, you know, it's stupid and senseless, but it doesn't, it's not really, it inconveniences people and stuff like that, but it isn't the same thing as letting an ambassador die and not trying to save him.
No.
I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of like an adulterous husband, you know, saying that the marriage was a failure because his wife burned the toast without taking any responsibility for screwing around. This is nonsense. And this is what's happening, and this is very problematic. None of these people from the left are willing to admit anything about Obama's despicable, egregious behavior in using his office to punish his political adversaries. The IRS thing, you know, there was one article that said, well, there were some people, you know, from the liberal groups that, you know, that didn't get it either. Well, that wasn't true. But all of Obama's minions have jumped on that and said, well, you know, it's fair because they punish both sides. Well, that's not true. Number one, they didn't. Number two, even if they did, it was only one or two as versus thousands.
I don't remember reading anything about his brother and that whole debacle with the IRS, and all of a sudden they gave him tax-free status in a matter of weeks. You didn't hear anything about that either, though, did you?
No. Fast track, retroactive, made Barack Obama's half-brother, who was involved in a scam.
Yeah.
Criminal. They exonerated him and made it retroactive to where anybody who all the way back to where it went past the statute of limitations. That is political corruption. That is what we have to deal with in this nation. You know, the whole thing, it isn't like Obama's corruption with the IRS, with all of the payoffs and everything that he's done with Obamacare. With the NSA, with Fast and Furious, where he had to stop the investigation by invoking presidential privilege because it went straight into his office. And the rest of it, all of that, are things that, you know, that are wrong, and people from the right and the left should be saying this is wrong because they don't want somebody else to do it. It can't be wrong for a liberal and right for a conservative. And it can't be right for a conservative and wrong for a liberal. I mean, you can't have it both ways. It has to be wrong no matter who does it. Since when have we been a nation that takes the low road of, well, it's okay for us to do it because you did it before? This tit for tat is destroying people's confidence in our government. It's at an all-time low. Things are wrong. And I see these people put on these posts on Twitter and Facebook that talk about, well, this is terrible of Christie, while giving a complete pass to he who must not be blamed. What do you think about this? You there? Well, I guess he is not on the line anymore here for whatever reason. So we'll just have to, you know.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I didn't know that there was any, that they had actually linked Christie to any emails at all. I hadn't heard that at all. So there's a lot of assumptions.
I don't know that they have. I don't know that for sure. I do know that that is the goal. The goal is to destroy the guy because he put out red pine cones. Not pine cones. What kind of cones you call those? Red cones. Traffic cones.
Traffic cones, yeah.
Now, that does seem a little much. I grant you it was a dumb thing and a stupid thing, but to, you know, for his career to be over because of that, while you exonerate somebody who's involved in murder.
Well, he fired somebody. Has Obama fired anyone for any of the fiascos that have happened with him? Did anybody get fired over Benghazi and people died? Did anybody die on the George Washington Bridge, or were they just inconvenienced? And he turned around and fired, I think her name was Bridget Kelly, who actually did this. He fired her that day, same day, on the spot. You're gone.
Well, Obama, when things happened, you know, he got in the Rose Garden after Benghazi, and he said that, you know, that, you know, that justice would be, you know, served, and, you know, we would get to the bottom of this. He wouldn't rest until they got kidney, went out to Las Vegas and party with Beyonce. You know, it just isn't true. None of this stuff is true. He always says that he's going to do it, and he reminds me of a character when we were little, named Phineas T. Bluster.
Bluster. Yes.
On How Do You
Do?
He was always blustering.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, he never did anything because he didn't have any power. Now, Obama's got power, but he never does anything. He just
He reminds me of another character that was on the Howdy Doody show. And his name was Flubadub.
Flubadub. I remember Flubadub. What?
Flubadub.
Flubadub.
Did a lot
one
of
our all-time good ones.
Never got anything right. Yeah, never got anything right. Yeah.
Well, we've got some really difficult things. Now, here, just kind of going past this a little bit. What is the problem? What is the thing that, you know, that needs to happen to really get to the bottom of some of the things that, you know, that is going to be going on with Obama? And if you ask me, the key is winning back the Senate to where the both houses of Congress are in opposition to what he's doing. And there are a lot of people that, you know, that get after John McCain and some of that. I get a little bit of it, but at the same time, you know, it's important to win the state of Louisiana, get rid of Mary Landrieu. Important to win the state of Arizona and get rid of Mark Pryor. It's important to win in North Carolina. It's important to win the seat that Max Baucus had in Montana. He was a Democrat. If you do those four things, then all we need are two more. Those are the four that are pretty sure. Now, you know, it's going to be harder to knock off Warner, Lyndon Johnson's son-in-law in West Virginia. And, you know, they're definitely, I don't see us winning in Illinois. And even though West Virginia, with Jay Rockefeller, he's one of the worst liberals that there is, and West Virginia is a very conservative state, I don't see us winning that one.
Hillary's on hit list, you know. Did you know that? Rockefeller was on her treachery list, marked as a number seven. It's people that turned against Hillary when she ran against Obama, and Rockefeller was considered a number seven, as was Ted Kennedy, and actually five or six more that all turned from her and went to Obama. So they're on.
Well, I would think that the governor of New Mexico would be another one that would have done that. But listen, I think that Colorado is a state that can be taken. I think that New Hampshire might. I don't see Rhode Island changing. I think probably one of the worst senators that there is that buffoon Al Franken, and he's up for re-election from Minnesota, and he is a buffoon.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't even funny when he wanted to be funny.
No, that's true. And,
yeah.
You know, Colorado's a potential to win, and certainly Nebraska with Ben Nelson having left, the guy with this horrible, he was a Democrat. So there's enough seats that it can be done, but it has to be done. The Senate has to flip. And there's going to be more conservatives in the House of Representatives the next time than ever before. And the reason is because they really don't care about Benghazi like we do. They just don't. But they do care that their health insurance is going to be doubling and things of that nature, and that all of a sudden, instead of paying $350 for their family, they have to pay $900. And it's because, they have to pay for things for people that, you know, that
are on the dole.
So these are the things that are happening. These are the things that, you know, and we got to keep up the pressure. This is a really critical year for our nation. And I find it so interesting that so many of the young people just don't pay any attention. I suppose that we didn't when we were that young either. But, I mean, I remember, you know, the very first person that I really ever, I mean, you know, when Kennedy was president, I mean, we're so proud of him because here he was, an Irish Catholic from Massachusetts, just like us. You know, I was walking out of Starbucks and, you know, at West Paces Ferry yesterday, and you know, and it was a beautiful day, and I held the door open for this guy and his wife, and she said, thank you, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, just looking at you, you look like an Irishman from Boston. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he hit it right on the nose, and I've been gone a long time now. I've been gone a long time, but I guess that, you know, that doesn't change much, does it, Richard?
Well, you didn't write it on your forehead, did you? I mean, you've been known to do some wild things, so.
I don't have any tattoos, but thank you for asking. As I watched the football games yesterday, I was amazed. I mean, these guys are just wall-to-wall tattoos.
Only to be outdone by the NBA players.
One of them has a medical problem. They have to have an MRI. You know, the metal from the ink in it means that their findings won't be very good. And they're going to have some health problems from this stuff because it isn't what your body's supposed to have. But what can I say? Say, Levy. All right.
Well, I just can't imagine that none of them have ever seen an older guy that's had tattoos. And now it just looks like some kind of a mesh mess on their arm. That's what it's going to turn into. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, here's something that I'm just going to, you know, we've really talked about what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to change the subject here a little bit. One of the things that they're now doing in, you know, when they're scouting in the NFL is they are taking photos of these guys with their tattoos, and they're having somebody look at them and say, what do these tattoos mean? And the reason is some of them are gang-related, and they don't want to have happen to them what happened to the Patriots with Aaron
Hernandez.
Yeah.
Hernandez.
Hernandez. Being a gangster and a murderer, because he was all, you know, all into the Mexican mafia type stuff. And how interesting is that? Because these tattoos have meaning.
Gang tattoos, sure.
I'm going to give you an example.
Their colors, they call them their colors.
Yeah. A friend of mine had a son who was in she's from California. Her son was in Mississippi with this girl who was going to Millsap College, Mississippi College in Millsap, Mississippi. Well, there's this cute young couple, and this guy rear-ended them, and there was some damage, not huge damage, but you know, Zach is the kid's name, and he said, well, you know, I'd probably be about $300. I said, you know, don't call the police, I'll pay for it. You know, can you come by my house? I'll just give you the cash. And Zach said, okay. So he did. The guy went in. Black guy came out and shot both of them to death, killed them, murdered them, and put some drugs in their car, and he and his mom, and they made it seem like this was a drug-related hit. The story ended up falling apart, and they got this kid, they tried him, and during the trial, he wore a Band-Aid under his eye, on his right eye. It was like a 10-day trial, but he always had that Band-Aid on. Then when they found him guilty and sentenced him, he took the the Band-Aid off, and it had two teardrops under that were tattoos under his eye. And in prison, that says, I have killed two people. That's what that tattoo means.
So he had the tattoo done before
him. Jury to see it because it was an admission of guilt. And he had the tattoos made. How did he do that? Well, that's a, kind of an amazing story. But it did happen. And these are the things that people are having to watch out for now. Well, you know, this is some wild stuff. We are living in wild times. And, you know, there are people that are, I mean, they've got this knockout games. And now, according to Barack Obama, in schools, well, you have to punish people by racial quotas because too many black people are getting punished in school for, you know, for things. So, you know, this is a discriminatory thing, and not because they're the ones that are causing trouble. So if you have 10 black kids that are expelled for something, you got to expel 10 white kids also. Quota system for discipline. And this is the new initiative for Obama and Eric Holder. This is what our country is coming to under the leadership of this despicable miscreant, Barack Hussein Obama. That's the truth. Not good.
No. Ridiculous.
By the way, I saw that movie, Lone Survivor, went and sat there. Extraordinary movie. I recommend it to everybody who's listening. Bring a Kleenex, and, you know, it's rough. This is true stuff. But what really tugged at me was the extraordinary amount of honor and purpose and dignity that these Navy SEALs had, and a sense of allegiance to their nation and
their own camaraderie.
Exactly. You put that on one side, and then on the other side, people who use their power to just harass those who don't agree with them, and you think, we have all of this honor in a certain segment of our country, which I would include us, and all of this dishonor from, you know, buffoons, and I'll throw Christie in there, you know, with this whole thing was stupid, but worse, with Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Michelle Obama, and the rest of the crew for what they are doing and how they have used their positions to essentially destroy this country. Sad stuff. We got less than a minute, so let me just say this. We got the Patriots are playing in Mile High against Peyton Manning, and it's Brady and Manning one more time, and the Patriots are underdogs. We are undermanned, and I don't care. I think we're going to win it and go to the Super Bowl. Now, we've written the Patriots off with the injuries several times, but they keep reinventing themselves, and isn't this a great testimony to what
you know? What was
can be
ironic?
Done?
They let this guy, what's his name, Spikes, go for not going to team meetings on time. That's Belichick. So they bring in this new guy to be a linebacker named Collins, and he was all over the offense of the Colts, and it was like, oh my God, where have they been hiding this guy? And the other guy to leave for them to bring this guy out, and he is just
superb at this point.
You got to love it. Got to run.
I love it.
We got to run. So let me just say this. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.